to anything. Another synonym for the 60th gift might be the gift of common sense. Common sense is inherent to all human beings, but it is lost whenever a person or society becomes too bogged down in frameworks and structures. It is through common sense that we human beings evolve and cooperate with creation efficiently and harmoniously. The power and potential inherent in this 60th gift should never be taken for granted. People with the 60th gift understand that for anything new to take root in the material world, it must follow certain laws. The main law of manifestation in the material world is based on structure. Innovation without structure simply will not last. The seed needs its hard shell to protect it, and the river needs its banks to direct it. The 60th gift is about creating strong banks to direct and funnel the energy for change into the world. To be realistic, in the sense of this 60th gift, means to understand that there is a great deal of red tape in the world, and this has to be tackled. The classic metaphor for the role of this gift is that of grafting a vibrant young shoot onto a powerful old rootstock. In this metaphor, the 60th gift is the rootstock, which represents the ability to work with the existing laws and traditions of the world and introduce change through them rather than in spite of them. People with the 60th gift are masters of creating structures, whether mental, emotional, or physical. These structures in themselves are holding stations for new ideas and energy, and as such are of less importance than the energy that comes through them. This is what the 60th gift knows. It knows that the structure will eventually mutate or even die, but the inner spirit will move on, and if necessary, find a new structure to carry it. The 60th gift is like the spaceship that takes man to the moon. Once man has reached the moon, the spaceship is no longer needed, but its creation allows other, more advanced structures to evolve. To take this simile further, the gift of realism is about maintaining the balance between the idea of reaching the moon and the huge physical and economical requirements needed to actually make that idea a reality. But the real essence of this gene key is about not losing perspective from either the idea side or the structure side. We have already seen how an over-reliance on the structural side ensures that most ideas are either bogged down and never happen, or else end up far from their original vision. As we have also seen, there is a great capacity for magic in this 60th gene key, and some may find it ironic that it is called the gift of realism. Actually, realism in its truest sense always involves magic. We know from modern quantum physics that all matter is made up of vibrating energy fields. Therefore, all structures in the world of form are really an illusion. They are frameworks through which something unexpected may occur. The only thing needed for magic to occur is some form of a structure and an open mind. This may seem a surprisingly simple set of criteria, but it is rarely found in the world. We usually see people burdened by the weight of the 60th shadow, that is, people toting great impressive structures and systems, but so identified with and attached to their structure that it throttles the original idea. We humans are not comfortable with uncertainty, and we do not trust in magic. Thus, we cling to our systems, religions, laws, and modes of thinking. One of the subtlest of structures is language itself. People with the 60th gift can therefore be masters of language as long as they do not become trapped by it. Language is not the territory, but is the means by which change can be expressed. You can talk about change forever and become obsessed with the ideas and thoughts themselves. But in order for something really new to enter the world, language has to be used in a playful manner, as a means of expressing a frequency. It is the frequency that holds the energy of change. Language is simply the means of resonating the music. We all know that in popular magic, the magician distracts us and then performs his trick when we are looking the other way. In the same way, the 60th gift can use language, or indeed any form, as a means to distract people while the real energy passes into them unnoticed. This 60th gift has much to do with music, being acoustic in nature. All new forms that enter the world have to pass through this gene key. Human chemistry is musical at the deepest level, and humans experience this through their individual moods and energy swings. The 60th gift requires deep acceptance of the uncertainty and unpredictability of the rhythms of life. These people understand that natural periods occur when nothing seems to be moving. Such periods can come on suddenly and go just as suddenly. They give rise both to our mood swings and to our bursts of sudden manifestation. The 60th gift knows that there is magic in the darkness before manifestation, and knows not to interfere with these essential life processes. To be realistic means to accept the natural limitations of being in form without being a victim of them. The 60th gene key is a part of a trinity of gene keys, along with the 19th and 61st, that code for the amino acid isoleucine. This is the ring of Gaia, one of the most fascinating of all the 21 codon rings. The ring of Gaia prevents or allows awareness to move between all the different life forms on our planet. The 19th gene key, with its gift of sensitivity, has the potential to open up a higher genetic functioning in human beings that will allow us to directly experience what it is like to live inside another creature. At the height of its sensitivity, this codon allows all Earth life, both sentient and inanimate, to experience its quantum unity. The 60th and 61st gene keys and their gifts of realism and inspiration hold deep secrets concerning this planet and our role within its organic structure. The 60th gene key represents the pure material density of the form of Gaia herself, whereas the 61st gene key points to the magic deeply embedded within the heart of the Earth. The original name for the 61st hexagram in the I Ching is Inner Truth, and this is the beauty of the Ring of Gaia. Everything, from the tiniest nanoparticle to the cosmos itself, has the same shining jewel of inner truth at its core. It is the responsibility and great privilege of humanity to be the outermost peak of the awareness of Gaia. We are her eyes and ears. We are her very mind. Everything of true value is hidden inside form, inside your body, inside the ferrous core of the planet, inside the vibrating fabric of your inner being. It is all rooted inwardly. This is why humankind must discover inner space, why we must turn inward for inspiration. All the answers to all our problems and challenges are hidden in the creatures and structures of nature, and all of those structures and creatures are embedded in microcosmic form inside every molecule of our DNA. Common sense is not in opposition to magic. It is common sense to remain open-minded to everything in the universe, because everything has at its core the same wondrous inner light. The 60th Siddhi, Justice, the Earthship Merkaba. The 60th Siddhi is an extremely rare Siddhi. There are some things in life that are quite simply a mystery, and this 60th Siddhi is one of them. It is called Justice But the true meaning of this word in a Siddic context is utterly different from our usual interpretation of it. As we have seen already, the 60th gene key concerns the laws and limitations that govern the world of matter. At the gift level, there is the intellectual understanding that these laws are not quite what they seem, reflected in the modern scientific view of quantum physics, and that there appears to be a force operating outside the laws governing physical reality. This force may be called God, grace, magic, fate, or even chance, but the fact is that it lies beyond our human control. When a human being attains a Siddic state, it is a rare event. Because we are all connected through the universal field of consciousness, this event has repercussions for all sentient life. It doesn't matter whether the person in this state ever even sees another human being. Their realization creates a great swell within the ocean of human consciousness, and the waves from this high-frequency surge affect all human beings. Depending on the flavor of the Siddhi, that is, its specific coding, the upsurge in consciousness affects our universe in different ways. Someone who attains the 25th Siddhi of universal love, for example, activates a huge opening in the collective heart field that surrounds and connects all beings and creatures on our planet and beyond. Such an event will lead to all kinds of breakthroughs in the human world of form. When a being attains self-realization through the 60th Siddhi, something quite extraordinary happens, and to the shadow consciousness, something very frightening. The fundamental laws that govern physical existence are loosened, and in some cases broken altogether. At a collective genetic level, this kind of event is called a frame shift mutation. When it occurs, the reading frame within the whole of human DNA shifts so that the way in which the genetic code is translated is totally different. At a macrocosmic level, this has not happened very often in human history, and for this reason, this 60th Siddhi still remains a mystery. True justice, realized at a divine level, is not a phenomenon human beings can easily understand. However, the coming of justice is lodged within the collective psyche, being reflected through the 60th gene key and its chemical counterpart within your DNA. Thus, almost all cultures have myths or religions promising a day in the future when the gods will descend to earth and pronounce their judgment on all living things. This myth, embodied, for example, in the Christian notion of Judgment Day, is a jaded human interpretation of the power of the 60th Siddhi. It is what we understand as divine justice. Because we humans think in terms of our morality, we generally see justice in terms of punishment and reward. More often than not, we see it in terms of retribution. Even our most sophisticated spiritual and scientific systems think of life in terms of cause and effect, or karma. This is due to the limitation of being caught in a dualistic reality. However, the true concept of justice is not bound by laws at all. It could best be described as acausal. When something is acausal, it means that it happens for no reason that we can see or understand. In an acausal reality, causes do not lead to effects, and thus there can be no justice as we understand the word. If someone were to kill someone in an acausal world, they would never be punished. There would be no such thing as duality. Therefore, no separate person would exist to commit such a crime. How then are we to imagine such a reality? The answer is that we cannot. The 60th Siddhi really does represent Judgment Day. It is the end of our illusions of right and wrong, good and bad, fair and unfair. The 60th Siddhi breaks all the laws of our reality, beginning with the law of time. Whereas we see time in a sequence, The 60th city experiences all time in the present. This means that there is no event horizon or sense of linearity, meaning that the person manifesting this city can therefore travel through time. The second law that the 60th city breaks is the law that holds form itself together, what we call gravity. In other words, these people are able to travel not only through time, but also through space. The laws of gravity that hold atoms together and maintain order within our cosmos are completely smashed by this city. Our popular mythologies contain many stories of eyewitness accounts of people flying or beings from other worlds coming to Earth. Some of these accounts may be taken from manifestations of the 60th city. Many of the great esoteric schools, among them the Tibetan, the Taoist, and the Egyptian, have detailed accounts of masters who attained the body of light or the rainbow body. These are examples where the laws that govern our world of form have been broken, and this manifests through a mutation of the physical vehicle of the body. In India, there is a mythic Himalayan yogi known as Babaji. Many myths surround this man, who is said to appear from time to time across the centuries, materializing in form, appearing, then disappearing. Other cultures have similar legends and stories that fire popular imagination but are seen as superstition by the general consciousness. There is enormous magic hidden within this 60th city. It is true magic because it is acausal. It cannot be learned, mastered, or imitated. Every time a being attains enlightenment through the 60th city, magic comes pouring through this being, and they become a phenomenon, a symbol of the breaking of the laws of form. At the collective level, the 60th city will be one of the very last cities to dawn. This is why we have always interpreted it as Judgment Day. When the 60th city begins to ignite in multiple beings, it will be the ending of the world as we know it. Everything will indeed be revealed in its true sense. The laws that hold together the earth will crack, and our planet will begin to transmute. The 60th city has been known by certain esoteric schools as the Merkaba, or Chariot of Light. The true collective Merkaba is the earth herself, the spirit of Gaia. When the earth disappears, it will do so suddenly, and all the cells that have held the consciousness that we call Gaia will move to another reality. Only then will we really know what divine justice means, and it will have no meaning whatsoever on an individual level. We have absolutely no idea what this event will look like or feel like, but those with the 60th city hold the key to this ultimate magical occurrence. And we should remember that from the point of view of the 60th city, this has already occurred. Every human being knows this is our future, as it lies secretly encoded in the deep limitation of our material DNA. However, certain divine laws conceal those higher aspects of our own nature from our view. We have to finally evolve to be able to see them, and the two great laws that we must evolve beyond are gravity and time. These two laws are not absolute, but completely relative to awareness. The binary helix of our DNA is microcosmically composed out of these two laws. DNA holds memory, and it acts as the living, evolving, local structure for sentient life. Evolution demands time, and localization demands space. When awareness passes beyond these two laws, they are seen not as false, but as lower frequency signatures of higher divine laws. Beyond our human form, other realities and dimensions exist. The cosmos is teeming and abundant with interdimensional life forms. In more advanced forms of life, the mirror of DNA is no longer a binary structure, but a trinary helix. The triple helix unites all beings beyond space and time and frees awareness to travel unimpeded throughout the cosmos. However, the triple helix cannot support a carbon-based life form. It requires a far subtler structure or vehicle, the underlying geometry of the universe itself.
61st Gene Key, The Holy of Holies. Programming Partner, 62nd Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Gaia. 19, 60, 61. Physiology, pineal gland. Amino acid, isoleucine. The 61st shadow, psychosis. The pressure of why. A standard dictionary definition of the word psychosis might read, any kind of mental defection or derangement. Generally seen as a mental affliction rooted in chemistry, psychosis is associated with disorganized thinking and delusional beliefs. Perhaps its key hallmark is that the individual, so affected, is usually unaware of their affliction. There are degrees of psychosis, from mild to acute. The psychoses that are recognized are the more acute forms in which human beings are unable to function in society without endangering either themselves or others. However, what the 61st shadow will show is that psychosis, which entails a loss of contact with reality, is the background consciousness of almost all human beings, including those that purport to understand the nature of the malady itself. At the risk of shocking the psychological community, or indeed the wider community, psychosis is in fact the ordinary state of the mass consciousness of humanity in the world today. In the 61st shadow, the true nature of the mind is obscured. The true nature of the mind is described, as much as it can be described in words, in the 61st city of sanctity, where it is seen as emptiness, or perhaps more clearly, as infinite space. However, the mind as we know it today is sick, and it is sick for one reason alone, because it seeks itself. It is through the narrow gate of the 61st gene key that a great question permeates the world of human beings, the question of why. This question, why, is in fact an aberration caused by the limitations of our current awareness. It is also this question that has powered the direction taken by humanity for thousands of years, and in particular over the past few hundred years. There is a tremendous pressure within the human brain to find an answer to this question that continues to well up from the deepest reaches of our unconscious. Both right and left hemispheres of the brain grapple with an answer to this question, but both are ultimately destined to fail. The right hemisphere seeks to end the pressure through religion, whilst the left hemisphere seeks to end the pressure through science. The key to our failure to relieve the pressure is found in the programming partner of the 61st shadow, the 62nd shadow of intellect. The pressure from the 61st shadow is neurologically and chemically routed directly into the human intellect, which is what turns the pressure into a question in the first place. The word why is the first word of all words, and out of it has been born all the different languages of humanity. This pairing of the 61st gene key and the 62nd gene key is a very mystical pairing. Until humanity's final evolutionary leap takes place, the quantum leap, triggered through the 55th gene key, we will remain in a state of psychosis. Our minds will continually drive us, consciously or unconsciously, to seek an answer to the question or try to find release from the pressure behind the question. The arc of human evolution in modern times has been fueled by this question, so you can see what a lofty purpose it serves. And yet, it produces a deep dilemma.
It prevents us from actually experiencing reality. As with all psychotic states, we are unaware of our own psychosis. Even those sensitive people who do become aware and can see an inevitable human slide into self-destruction are caught within the dilemma. The dilemma is that you cannot fix the psychosis from within the psychosis. The ancient civilizations called this perceptive cloak thrown over the world the Maya, the great illusion. The issue of the true nature of reality is all about frequency, just as this entire work on the 64 gene keys is about frequency. Only when the frequency passing through your individual genetic coding rises to a sufficient level can you begin to perceive reality. Or as William Blake famously put it, if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear as it is, infinite. This is aptly demonstrated through the shift in perception that occurs between the 61st and 62nd gene keys at the gift levels of frequency. At the very highest levels, beyond that, reality is indeed experienced in all its infinite splendor. However, at the frequency level of the mass consciousness of humanity today, the 61st shadow prevails, and humanity is simply a victim of the pressure of this shadow. We will do anything and believe anything or anyone who promises to deliver us from the pressure. Thus, because it promises us respite from the pressure within our minds, religion is one of the biggest businesses on our planet. The problems with religion are not usually sourced by the founders. Those rare beings who attained the highest frequencies in the past spoke directly from the Siddhic reality. But the 61st shadow holds a single great flaw, the flaw of worship. The moment you worship another, you set yourself below them in a victim position. You guarantee that your frequency will remain at that low level and be severely impaired. You need to understand here the difference between worship and devotion. Devotion contains the seed of individual dissolution, whereas worship requires a basic duality between you and your God. The only way to release the pressure of the 61st shadow is to step right into the heart of the pressure rather than constantly trying to make it go away. But the pressure from the 61st shadow is truly terrifying for the human intellect, which has formed an intricate mental construct around itself and called it reality. Stepping into the pure pressure from the 61st shadow will shatter the intellect completely, quite possibly inducing a state of acute psychosis in which you undergo a spiritual and/or mental breakdown or breakthrough. In order for this delicate shattering process to occur safely, a person must pass through an organic preparatory period in which the hold of the human intellect and its false reality is progressively loosened. This is exactly the process referred to through the 61st gift, the gift of inspiration. This pressure of the 61st shadow also feeds the scientific mind. Thus, the scientific mind is also set up to fail in delivering a release from the pressure because the question of why is an unanswerable and rhetorical question. Logic is a closed-circuit system of thinking, a concept you can understand better through the 63rd gene key. Because logic always leads to stalemate, it simply cannot provide an answer to the ultimate question. Science cannot even truly answer the question of how, because how is a derivation of why. Even the most advanced scientific thinking in quantum physics can no longer find answers within the domain of logic, and therefore, logic bends its own laws, inventing dimensions that cannot be seen or proven. Today, we are witnessing the last desperate throes of the intellect as it tries to understand a question that cannot be understood intellectually. Ultimately, as we shall see, The question can only be answered when it has become one with your consciousness, at which point it paradoxically dissolves. Repressive nature. Disenchanted. Disenchantment occurs when one turns away from the pressure of the 61st shadow. The repression of the question of one's true origin leads directly to imitative, conformist behavior in the world. Disenchantment is an inner giving up that usually has its roots in our childhood conditioning. It is hiding from our own question because it terrifies us. The inner question scares us because if we pursue it, we will have to break away from all that feels comfortable. We will have to set off on a personal quest, and that will take us away from the status quo. Furthermore, the inner quest is a dangerous path and can only be travelled alone. When the 61st shadow is refracted through a repressive nature, these people go the traditional route, through education, religion, or science. However, deep down inside them, the question remains and disenchantment becomes their true inner state. No matter how hard they try or how much they gain and succeed in the world, inwardly they remain unfulfilled and restless. Reactive nature. Fanatical. The reactive human nature becomes obsessed by the question coming through the 61st shadow. Rather than pass through the gauntlet of the 61st gift, these people become frozen and fixed on a single answer to their inner question. Such people find a safe and comfortable place in the structure, leader, creed, or direction to which they have become attached. What they do is place an intellectual answer over the top of the question, and they build their reality around that answer. By rigidly holding on to their answer, they also have to deal with the psychotic dilemma of having found the only true answer to the great question of existence. They become fanatical about their discovery and usually become some form of missionary in its further propagation in the world. Beneath the surface of every reactive nature is a well of insecurity that bubbles to the surface as anger. This anger further protects them from having to deal with the true question within them. The 61st gift, inspiration. God is pressure. Inspiration is what happens when you stop worshipping God and start becoming God. The 61st gift of inspiration may sound like a common enough attribute, but the reality of this gift is far from comfortable. Inspiration refers to a process that is very different from our normal understanding of the word. The word inspiration derives from the ancient Indo-European word for breath and is connected to the Latin spiritus, also meaning breath. The process of inspiration is a gradual releasing of your inner breath through the fabric of your reality and out into the world. Despite its wonderful creative manifestations in the world, inspiration involves a powerful dismantling of the inner realities that have been built by your mind. Inspiration begins when you place yourself directly in the firing line of the inner question that lies within each human being. The ancient Chinese named this 61st hexagram Inner Truth, and as a pictographic symbol, it represents that which is hidden deep within us. The path of inspiration often begins as an outer quest, as you seek answers from the outside world through systems, teachers, or disciplines. In the beginning, inspiration comes to you sporadically as flashes in which you fleetingly perceive the nature of reality in a distilled form. Sometimes inner truth may be revealed to you for longer periods. Such shattering and powerful experiences usually alter the path of one's destiny. What separates inspiration from other heightened experiences is that after inspiration, you are permanently altered. Even a brief flash of true inspiration will change the way your awareness operates. Through inspiration, You are being prepared for an even greater experience than you can yet conceive. The path through the 61st gift is necessarily a very creative path, since true inspiration destroys some aspect of your inner delusion, thus releasing a great surge of trapped energy into your body and life. Such energy naturally seeks an outlet through creativity. Creativity is the single most important gift for drawing humanity out of its mass psychosis. It unlocks the latent forces of inspiration inside you, pulling you away from a state of victimization. Inspiration and creativity have their challenges, however. The main one for human beings is patience. Inspiration cannot be forced or predicted, but comes when it comes and stays for as long as it stays. In between these heightened inspirational states, you may well become dejected or depressed. However, at a certain level of frequency, you will reach a plateau, and at this level, the inspiration itself gives you enough energy to maintain a heightened state. Once again, the key is some form of creative process. By its very nature, the gift of inspiration is spiritual, because it serves to loosen the hold of your mental constructs, opening and expanding your capacity for love. Alongside the 61st gift, the 62nd gift of precision enables the wordless experience of inspiration to be expressed in a language that others can understand. The 62nd gift of precision is adept at expressing the mystery of life with great intelligence, beauty, and economy. One of the hallmarks of the 61st gift in action is the originality of its expression and the seemingly endless stream of its activity in the world. Deep within the person in the midst of such a process, something extraordinary is occurring. Their hold on reality, as they know it, is slipping. Many people are not able to let go during these stages and cling to the forms they have begun to create in the world. Those who can continually release the definitions of their reality do begin to enter a more rarefied realm. They enter a stream of consciousness in which inspiration begins to annihilate their lower mind. At this stage, it may appear as though a greater being is somehow taking over your life. You may not know it, but you are approaching a door. The door to the greatest secret known to humanity. The door to the divine. One of the greatest statements ever made concerning the nature of divinity is the mystical axiom, God is pressure. This revelation powerfully describes the process whereby the inner truth hidden within human beings is unlocked. You are a pressure machine. Deep inside your body, the pressure of the mystery of your being beats in the heart of every single molecule of living DNA. Through its associated codon ring, the Ring of Gaia, this 61st gene key represents a mystery hiding inside every single unit of matter in the universe. This mystery is the mystery of Christ consciousness, that quintessence of inner light that holds all things together. It is the creative evolutionary process that gradually unveils this inner light. Through the Ring of Gaia, we can see how our ecosystem, the living, breathing diversity of the blue-green planet and all its life forms, is destined to discover its own inner truth as one entity. This codon ring shows that evolution is a force that is breaking out from inside us, and that to unlock its secrets, we have only to look inward. The 61st Siddhi, Sanctity, Entering the Unknowable. In arriving at the 61st Siddhi, we approach a great mystery, the mystery of life itself. The inspiration pouring through the higher reaches of the 61st gift is a stream of sparks from a great transformation occurring within every human being who approaches the inner door. As we have seen, the manifestations of inspiration are unimportant to the one who is truly inspired. These manifestations are simply the myriad colors of the experience itself, and as such are wonderful to those outsiders who are witnessing the process. Sooner or later, however, inspiration comes to an end. The process exhausts itself as it throws out all the mythic identities contained within your DNA. As you enter the field of the 61st Siddhi, a huge pregnant silence descends, and all your mental activity abruptly ceases. Here, inner truth resides. In Western mythic traditions, this is a place and is called by many names: the Ark of the Covenant, the Grail Castle, the Holy of Holies, the Celestial Palace. In the East, it is generally described as a state, enlightenment, nirvana, samadhi, or some such term. The 61st Siddhi is neither a place nor a state. It is the inner experience of sanctity, of being one with the divine. Within this Siddhi, true reality dawns. The pressure that creates humanity's mass psychosis is no longer routed directly into the human brain, but is refused and rerouted through the solar plexus system, which houses a far more advanced system of awareness. Once the pressure of awareness is removed from the brain, the question of why finally ceases, and all other questions emerging from it, such as how and who, also die. However, the pressure must go somewhere, and indeed it does. Through the medium of the solar plexus center, it goes everywhere. It is through the constantly vibrating wave frequencies emerging from the solar plexus that awareness is carried beyond the body into every corner of the universe. You immediately find yourself both completely empty and yet endlessly full. The experience of sanctity is paradoxically an experience with no experiencer, and is one of the greatest mysteries of evolution. Once it has been entered, it cannot end, and must be differentiated from all other mystical experiences or higher visionary states. Such states occur at the higher reaches of the 61st gift. A human being in whom the 61st Siddhi is being revealed is nothing but a human vehicle manifesting pure universal awareness. This state of sanctity is the underlying nature of reality, and until you come to rest within it, you are always asleep. For those of us outside of this realization, such a person seems to be a god. They ripple with divinity and exude the strange, unearthly essence that humans refer to as holiness. They emit a frequency of such availability and at the same time such power that we find them either irresistible or terrifying. These are the people who we, in our psychosis, deify and worship. We do so to our detriment, because the whole point of such a presence among us is to demonstrate the fact of every human being's inner divinity. For one of us to settle into the realization of our inherent divinity, all we need do is entertain another who has already realized this inner truth. The being within the 61st Siddhi no longer knows any difference between you and him or her, because this state of consciousness has always existed and will always exist within every aspect of the universe. Such a person cannot help you in any way. They simply serve as a mirror of your own inherent divinity. So to be in the presence of the 61st Siddhi in another is no guarantee of anything, and in some respects can lead to more confusion. What really has to occur is the deep understanding inside you that you are asleep, and this understanding can be greatly facilitated by a mirror. However, to remain with that mirror frequently leads to worship of the mirror, which prevents your own realization. This is why, for example, the Buddhists say that if you meet the Buddha along the road, you must kill him. The 61st Siddhi is about living life without answers. It is about simply becoming the mystery of who you are. Only when all answers finally fall away does the inner truth dawn. If there is a Siddhi that negates all words, descriptions, and answers, it is this 61st Siddhi. Life is a mystery. Enlightenment is a mystery. Inner truth is a mystery. No matter what you do to try to solve the mystery, you will never come closer. There is no attitude you can adopt in response to the mystery, since all such things are subtle attempts at solving it. You simply must come to realize that you know absolutely nothing, and this profound revelation can only occur in its own way and at its own time. For humanity in its current phase of evolution, the 61st Siddhi can only cause infuriation. It is better that we forget all about it and bring our focus to the gift level, where our mind at least has something to grasp and something to aim for. Once you have pulled yourself clear of your psychosis, it is simply a matter of time before the Siddhi also arrives. The vehicles we currently inhabit are extremely limited in terms of their awareness operating system, which favors the development of the mind. Therefore, we must respect the phase of evolution through which we are passing and enjoy what lies before us. The 61st Siddhi is really a matter of luck at this stage. If the vehicle you are sitting in happens to mutate, then you are in luck. The future, however, holds a different story. The 61st Siddhi will become far more commonplace in the next few hundred years because humanity is in the process of making a quantum leap. The children who will begin to arrive on this planet will carry this Siddhi of sanctity in their bones. They will radiate it through every pore, and they will carry it out into the world with them. They will be the living embodiment of life's mystery, of life's potential in form. They will bring a balance back into the world that will see the mind cease its turbulent search for an ultimate answer. In the final analysis, we are the answer. 62nd Gene Key, The Language of Light. Programming Partner, 61st Gene Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of No Return. 31, 62. Physiology, throat, thyroid. Amino acid, tyrosine. The 62nd shadow, intellect. The stupidity of being clever. In the original sequence of the 64 gene keys, as laid down in the I Ching, there is an interesting geometry connected with both its beginning and its ending. As you may have learned, the first and last pairs of gene keys, the first and second together with the 63rd and 64th, act rather like cosmic bookends to the entire evolutionary and involutionary process of creation. The first pair can be seen as a prologue, and the final pair an epilogue to the great drama that lies encoded within their boundary. When seen in this way, the true sequence of the drama of evolution begins with the third gene key of innocence and ends with the 61st gene key of sanctity, which is also known in the original I Ching as inner truth. The 61st gene key, the programming partner of the 62nd gene key, has the feeling of being the finale to a great orchestral symphony. However, the 62nd gene key is something entirely different. Where the gene keys themselves represent the book of life, the 62nd gene key stands alone at the end, as the index or glossary of all that has come before. The 62nd gene key contains layer upon layer of coded information about the meaning and purpose of the cosmos. Behind its inner door, the 62nd gene key reveals what the gene keys themselves are and what they are for. They are the living language of light that lies at the foundation of the universe. The 64-bit matrix is the core structural principle behind all art, science, and natural phenomena. All human languages and vocabularies have emerged out of this primary alphabet of consciousness. At the deepest level, the 62nd gene key teaches you the holographic language of creation. Once you have learned this inner language, you will see it repeated in fractal form over and over again in everything your awareness touches. It is precise and infinitely complex, and yet it is elegantly simple to learn, formed as it is from only 6 possible permutations of each of the 64 gene keys. Many people may be surprised to see the word intellect represented as one of the 64 shadows. The language of the gene keys holds true at all levels of frequency, and unlike human languages, it is not a language that can be learned and mastered via the intellect alone. To master the language of creation, we have to embody it fully at every level, not just the intellectual level. However, in the modern world, intellect is generally regarded as a sought-after and admired human gift, rather than as something that might actually hamper human evolution. Therefore, it is important to clarify some terminology. Intellect is most often confused with intelligence and understanding. In the context of the gene keys, intellect refers to the thinking capacity of the human mind, which bases all its suppositions on its 2 main objectives, the acquisition of facts and the skill of manipulating those facts via language. Intellect is the skill of manipulating knowledge, but knowledge is quite different from understanding. Understanding in this sense does not simply refer to the activities of the mind, but to the whole experiential being. You can be a dunce at the intellectual level, but can still understand many profound truths within the heart of your being. Likewise, intelligence has nothing to do with intellect. In fact, these 2 attributes are often, though not always, diametrically opposed to each other. Generally speaking, the more intellectual you are, the less intelligence you use. In the context of the gene key language, intelligence is something that occurs without the use of the mind, although intelligence may also use the mind as a means to transmit itself. The modern world that we inhabit is truly upside down. Our very schooling is designed to make us more intellectual and less intelligent. We are already intelligent as children. Your intelligence is stunning, vibrant, and natural. Your natural intelligence is to be found in the way you move your limbs, in the brightness of your eyes, and in the freedom of your self-expression. It is the reservoir of your future genius. But that genius is very efficiently curtailed from the moment you enter school. The more information you put into your head, the more sedated you become. In most cases, as you progress through the modern school system, layer upon layer of homogenized information is force-fed to you. You are even required to compete to remember it all. It is a very efficient system in terms of how deeply it represses human intelligence, but the bottom line is that it makes us all the same. Since we have each learned the same information and learned it in the same way, our brains become neurologically programmed to operate in similar ways. Like any of the human shadows, the 62nd shadow of intellect is not inherently bad. Intellect is a wonderful quality if it is used correctly in the service of innate intelligence. But when intellect is put in charge of the planet, as it currently is, then intelligence cannot be seen except in the few people who have raised this gene key to a higher frequency. Intelligence is of the heart, whereas intellect is of the mind. This is the core sentence. The 62nd shadow is obsessed with facts, and facts are born of language and names. Without a name, you cannot create a fact. Names and language in their turn create the software of the human mind. Without this software, the mind is silent. In a world where facts are regarded as treasure, the mind reigns as king. Our world is divided between the 62nd shadow of intellect and its programming partner, the 61st shadow of psychosis. That these two themes are genetically linked should speak volumes about the way we perceive the human mind. The pairing of the 62nd shadow and the 61st shadow reflects a fundamental split within humanity itself. Through the 62nd shadow, man tries to solve the mysteries of life through his intellect, in other words, through science. Meanwhile, through the 61st shadow, he tries to solve the same mysteries without his mind, through religion. These two poles, which at their extremes become scientific intellectualism and religious fanaticism, are genetic sub-programs that keep humanity operating at a low frequency level. Individuals who carry the specific imprinting of these shadows are caught in the crossfire of these two underlying human themes. Such people can spend their lives defending one viewpoint while suppressing the other hidden aspect of their nature. If the 62nd shadow is dominant, the female nature will be suppressed, and if the 61st shadow is dominant, the male nature will be suppressed. This suppression of your inner male or female polarity is the main cause of disease on our planet, both at an individual level and at the collective level. The 62nd shadow really represents abuse through language. It is not we who abuse language, but language that abuses us. Language relies upon our frequency. At low frequencies, it completely takes control of our reality. The human intellectual capacity to read, write, and speak is both our greatest blessing and our greatest curse. Problems arise when we identify our lives with our thoughts, which, as we have seen, have been pre-programmed throughout our upbringing. Until we are able to step outside of this mental framework, we are controlled by language instead of being free to control it. All facts are relative, as modern quantum mechanics beautifully demonstrates, and this puts the entire conceptual framework of language and intellect on the chopping block. The fact that science is on the cusp of undermining the very foundation of intellect speaks volumes about the extraordinary times through which we are currently living. However, the intellect is not designed to give itself up. It will fight on, disproving any theory that takes it out of its own factual territory. Only when humanity raises its frequency into the heart will it be able to use intellect to resolve this great paradox. Put another way, the only way you can scientifically prove that God exists is to become God. Knowledge must then become knowing. Intellect must surrender to intelligence. And as a man of true understanding once said, "The last shall become first, and the first shall become last." What this really means is that the heart shall lead the mind, rather than the other way around. Repressive nature, obsessive. When the 62nd shadow turns inward, it becomes obsession. Everything about this 62nd gene key is about focusing on the small things. When fear manifests through this shadow, it uses details as a way to avoid feeling its own suffering. These people become lost in the mundane world, living a life of endless details with little or no creative outlet for their life force. At the lowest end of the spectrum, such people can become mentally ill, obsessing on the tiniest things as a way of coping with life. Such people are held prisoner by their minds rather than by the details themselves. For the majority of humanity, however, This shadow serves to repress the natural sparkle of the individual by keeping him or her locked into a monotonous mindset where details are both one's crutch and one's enemy. Reactive nature. Pedantic. These people use their intellect to attack everything outside them in